This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Back with me is Pastor Bob Perdue, and we're talking about 10 life choices, and we've gone through honesty, grace, and forgiveness. And today, Pastor Bob, we're talking about truth. Tell us a little bit more about that, please.
Well, let's just kind of back up and review. We've been talking about how God created us for life, but because of sin and wounds, we're blocked from the voice of the Father, and we hear the powerful voice of the sin and wounds kind of giving us a different identity and speaking lies and labeling us in ways that cause us to feel shame. And that ends up driving the false self and the powerful addictions that we fall into. So this whole idea of choosing truth is basically our first attack on those lies and labels that have developed. We've basically taken out the foundation of the false self by choosing honesty, grace, and forgiveness. And now we're ready to start building who we really are by choosing truth. I remember when I was a child, I would play football. I was never that fond of football. Mm-hmm. And I certainly didn't want to be the quarterback because there was way too much pressure in that position. And I didn't want to be the receiver because I would inevitably drop the ball.
Right.
So I wanted just to be one of the tackles. I mean, if all I had to do was throw my body at the opposing team to try to knock them over, that I could handle. And what I learned about tackling was that you don't tackle the upper part of the body. You go for the foundation because you can knock them over if you can take their feet out from under them. And basically, that's what we've done. This cycle of indulging and striving that we get into in order to try to find life, we take its foundation out when we choose honesty, grace, and forgiveness. And now on the basis of that foundation, we need to build who we really are and begin to believe that. Because most of us have believed lies about who we are, in spite of the fact that maybe we grew up as Christians and grew up in Christian culture. A lot of us believe things that come out of our past, maybe things that people have said to us, our parents, our peers, our teachers, but not just voices from the past, but also just the way we've interpreted the circumstances of our past. I've talked to many people who lost a parent either through death or divorce and somehow owned that as their own fault or that it said something about them just because it was such a powerful circumstance and they really didn't know how to interpret it and no one helped them interpret it. They interpreted it themselves.
Right.
Most often misinterpreting it and coming up with a lie that has kind of driven their lives. And then, of course, added to the voices from our past and our misinterpretation of the past is the voice of the enemy, who's the father of all lies and willing to support any small lie that we may begin to believe about ourselves. So I believe that what happens in a lot of us is that a stronghold of lies is built up within us about, particularly about who we are, about our identity. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, we develop certain ways to handle life because of what we believe about who we are. So certain behavior or flesh patterns develop as kind of our default setting. If I believe that I'm inadequate because maybe nothing I ever did as a child seemed to measure up, then whenever I attempt something new, I always have some sort of coping mechanism in place to protect myself. Either I don't try things that I don't think I can accomplish, or I have some sort of an out to excuse myself. Mm-hmm. So I develop these default flesh patterns, these behaviors, which become part of my striving cycle. This is how I'm trying to make my life work. And the reason I'm doing this is because of the stronghold of lies that has developed within me that's driving that. So a lot of people come to counseling or come to the pastor to attack those behavior patterns, those flesh patterns that develop. Pastor Bob, how can I stop doing this? How can I start doing this? But really, we have to attack the lies that are the foundation of those behavior patterns that are kind of driving that. Why am I doing what I'm doing? So as we begin to look at that, we need to start to answer the question, who am I? I counsel a lot of the folks who come to me to just sit down and begin to journal about who am I. Most men will start talking about what they do for a living. That's how we identify ourselves. And women will usually talk about their relationships. I'm married to such and such. I have this many children. We have to get beyond that because we are more than just what we do or who we're related to. And so as we get down into the deeper parts of who we believe we are, usually it's attached to something that's happened to us or some negative thing that we've misinterpreted in our lives. And we believe that we are that mistake or we are that label, and then we behave accordingly. When Christ came, he came to give us a whole new identity. He said, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So we get a new identity. Any identity that I had out of my past sin and wounds, out of my past shame, or even out of my mask, all of those are false identities. My true identity only comes through Christ. And so I have to learn from Scripture, from truth, who am I? And of course, the good news is that God knew how important that was, so he included it in the Word in a lot of different places. One of the places that I think is very beneficial in helping us to choose truth, particularly about our identity, is Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul spent more time at the church of Ephesus than any other church that he visited on his missionary journeys. He even ordained elders there. He loved this group of people. And he got word, once he had left there, that there were some behavioral problems happening in the church. And so he wrote the letter to the Ephesians to address those behavior problems. But even though that was the reason he wrote the letter, he never mentioned the behavior problems until chapter 4. He spent the first three chapters telling them and reminding them who they really were, because he knew that behavior flows out of identity. And if they didn't know who they really were, they couldn't really choose to act in the right way. So in chapter 1, he starts by telling them that they're blessed in the heavenly places in Christ. And then in verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So he reminds them that they're chosen. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty powerful identity truth for me. I can remember growing up out on the playground, choosing teams and being the last one chosen and how that felt.
Right.
But now when I look at this, I see that before the foundation of the world, God picked me to be on the winning team. He chose me to be his. I am chosen. That's part of who I am. Then in verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a precious child of God. He chose me. Now, two of my five children are adopted, and one of the things that we always say about adopted children is, my natural children, I didn't choose them. They just kind of came.
Right.
But my adopted children were particularly chosen on purpose. So when we talk about God adopting us into his family, we were born connected with Satan, sin, death, and God made a choice to include me as his child. And of course, in John chapter 1, he says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, it was hard for me when I was living in addiction to think of myself as a son of God because I thought of myself as a pervert. And as long as I believed I was a pervert, that's exactly how I was going to keep acting. I needed to believe that I was a son of God in spite of my behavior, that my behavior didn't define me. Then we go on in Ephesians chapter 1, and he says that we, in verse 6, have been accepted in the Beloved. And the word accepted there is actually the same Greek word that's used when the angel appeared to Mary and said, Hail, highly favored one. Not only am I chosen, not only am I a precious child of God, but I am also highly favored by God. Now, as I begin to believe the truth about who I really am in Christ, it builds that whole new identity for me, and out of that identity can flow the kind of behaviors that go with that identity, because behavior flows from identity. So choosing truth is choosing to believe who I really am in Christ in spite of my past, in spite of the voices from my past, in spite of the lies of the enemy, in spite of the labels that I've believed, this is who I truly am, and then to live out of the truth of that identity.
One area that I know that I've struggled with, Bob, is that I look at what I am, who I am, and it is related a lot to my work, but I think all of us at times wish that we were somebody else. We view it as better, whether it's wealthier or whether it's having a perfect relationship, or some boys grow up wishing that they were a great soccer player, a great basketball player, and yet we never will be. And I guess that can be just as great an impediment as anything, is not accepting the truth of simply who God made us to be. And that's the fact that Scott Hollinger is a half an inch under 6 feet and will never be the kind of basketball player that somebody like Michael Jordan or the doctor was, Julius Irving. And that's what you're also saying as well, is it's the truth of who God made us to be.
Right. And that's why choosing truth is a life choice, because believing that those other things are somehow impeding my life or making my life less than it could be is actually keeping me from experiencing the life that God intends for me. And if I take my identity from Him, then there is nothing to impede that life. So it's a life choice.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that would be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.